WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. China says it's ready to fight a trade war to the bitter end as President Trump's tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China go into effect. Trump says from his end, there's no wiggle room.
It's a very powerful weapon that politicians haven't used because they were either dishonest, stupid, or paid off in some other form. And now we're using them.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger has one example of how this will affect Americans.
Prices for U.S. car buyers are expected to rise by about $3,000 on average as those newer cars come onto lots.
Trump is expected to talk about the tariffs and more during an address to a joint session of Congress tonight. Here's CBS's Stacey Lynn.
House Speaker Mike Johnson invited President Trump to share his America First vision for our legislative future. The address gives him the opportunity to talk about his agenda. Expect him to double down on the administration's effort to slim down the government. He'll likely push his plans for immigration and tariffs.
He's also expected to talk about Ukraine a day after he paused U.S. military aid that was headed there. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
A White House official said the pause is so the administration can review the aid to ensure it's contributing to a solution. This comes just a few days after President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky had a tense face-off in the Oval Office about what negotiations to end the three-year war with Russia should look like.
We're awaiting an update on the Pope's condition from the Vatican. CBS's Seth Doan is in Rome, where he says the Pope had a rough day on Monday.
The pontiff had two episodes of acute respiratory failure Monday, caused by a buildup of mucus and spasms in the airways in the lung. The Pope had to be aspirated to remove some of that mucus, and two bronchoscopies were performed.
The FAA is investigating a series of false traffic collision alarms as planes approached landing at Washington's Reagan National Airport on Saturday morning. More from CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
We do know that all 12 of these planes we identified were regional jets, two different makes of regional jets. Other airplanes did not receive these alerts, so it is a mystery at this point. No evidence of nefarious activity, but this many false alarms is highly unusual.
Carl Dean has died, hardly a household name. He kept a low profile, but he inspired one of his wife's best-known songs.
Jolene, 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 Jolene.
Dolly Parton and Carl Dean were married for nearly 60 years. Carl Dean was 82. Wall Street S&P futures are up 2 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Another Brewers pitcher injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers manager Pat Murphy says he now has half a dozen pitchers dealing with injuries in spring training. The latest, Aaron Ashby, the lefty pitching last night against the Reds, had to leave the game with an apparent strained oblique muscle. The Reds went on to win 5-4. Ashby to undergo an MRI.
Even though it's frustrating, but just kind of, you know, what the timing feels like going on the mound.
The team has signed 36-year-old lefty Jose Quintana, who spent the last 2 years with the New York Mets. Basketball tonight. The Bucks are on the road in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. College hoops, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in the Twin Cities, 7:30 tomorrow night for a border battle with Minnesota. Did the Badgers' lack of shots fail them at Michigan State Sunday? Greg Gard.
Yeah, well, we had three possessions there at the end where we kind of had ball screen defense breakdowns is a word I'll use because I'm not going to use the word I use with the team.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some fun moments during Sunday's Oscar broadcast included Queen Latifah looking like she wore a parachute to the event during her nice tribute to Quincy Jones. There was also Adrian Brody, who won his second Best Actor Oscar for his performance in the nearly four-hour-long film The Brutalist, and his acceptance speech was almost as long. There was Timothée Chalamet, who some thought was the odds-on favorite for Best Actor, dressed in a bright yellow pantsuit. Luckily, it's Hollywood, and the people around him were already wearing sunglasses. It's always exciting when history is made at such a big event. Nora writer-director Sean Baker won 4 Oscars for the film, becoming the first person ever to win 4 Academy Awards for the same film. The critically acclaimed director took home trophies for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture. He is also the film's producer, and he won an Oscar for Best Editing. Nora was the talk of the night, as lead actress Mikey Madison won Best Actress, giving Nora 5 Oscars out of 6 nominations. Not a bad Sunday. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with rain developing this afternoon, up to 48 for a high today. Rain will change to snow tonight with snow continuing through much of Wednesday. 4 to 6 inches of accumulation possible with strong 35 to 45 mile per hour wind gusts creating blowing snow through much of the day Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we all want clean drinking water. What about road salt? What happens with that? We'll kick that around tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Coming up at 7:35, the chair of the musical theater department at University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, the only musical theater department in state colleges here in Wisconsin. Mark Hansen will be here. He's going to talk about their big spring show, which is in full swing right now, and a little bit about the program. On the text line, the 608 says, "Flow. Glad it won. It had such a powerful and, yes, I agree with you, Matt, and I would say timely message. That we're all in the same boat, and sometimes all we've got is each other. And more, it was a metaphor for life itself, the ups and downs and mysteries of it, while at the same time, on another level, it's just a good old-fashioned fantasy action-adventure story complete with the traditional Hollywood convention of the four friends banding together to fight the odds. Totally original and just brilliant." That's from, I hope I'm saying this name correctly, Katja from Madison. Thank you for the text. That's a great text. Matt, you saw Flow, right?
I loved it. It's one of the 10 best movies I saw last year. I was very... And listen, The Wild Robot is a great movie as well. That would have been a worthy winner. But the fact that a Latvian animated movie with no words...
And no budget, really, right?
I heard it was made for like $4 million, I think, or something insane like that. That won Best Picture. Really cool. And that was kind of the theme of all of last night's big winners was... No big movies really won. Obviously, Dune won in some of the technical categories, but when it came to the big major categories, you had Flow winning Best Animated Feature. You had No Other Land, a movie that does not have U.S. distribution. If you see it in theaters right now, that's because they're self-distributing that movie right now. That won Best Documentary. Obviously, you had The Brutalist, which was an independent movie, and Anora, which is an independently produced movie, winning Best Picture. A really big night for the little guys last night, which was very heartening to see and very unusual for the Oscars. This was a real sign that it is a new Academy voting for the Oscars now. This is not the fuddy-duddy old days. This is not that time anymore. They seem Great to have point. Officially become a new body, which is exciting. It's exciting to think that there may not be such a thing as a obvious, predictable Oscar bait movie anymore.
Yeah, no, well, very well said. And thank you for the text, Katja and Madison. Great text. All right.
I also just want to double back because I heard one of the talking texters mentioned Dune Part 2. Which it did kind of as expected last night, only won the 2 technical awards, was basically an also ran everywhere else. I think to answer questions, the reason why that happened, it came out in March. It came out a year ago.
Right.
So it was just not top of mind for a lot of voters. And I also think there is a certain feeling of, you know, there's a third movie coming. Yes. Like the Lord of the Rings thing. I think this happened to Wicked too.
I was going to say, yes.
The, why give the first movie the awards when we know we've got the full package coming soon? So maybe Dune Messiah is the big Dune movie that performs really well at the Oscars. Maybe Wicked for Good is the Wicked movie that performs really well at the Oscars. But we'll have to see what happens when those come out.
Great point. Let's go to, we got a couple more categories here, Matt. Let's talk about director Sean Baker. I'm late to the Sean Baker train. In the last 3 months, I've seen Tangerine, Red Rocket, Florida Project, which is one of my all-time favorite films now.
Very good movie.
And Anora. And I don't even know that Anora, for me personally, is his best film, but he made history. He won 4 Oscars from the same film that's never been done before, mostly because he edited it. That's incredible. What's your take? Are you a huge fan? I think he's great.
I'm a fan of his. I'm even more of a fan of his after this awards campaign because he said everything he said last night on that Oscar stage was things that he was saying throughout this awards season, talking about the importance of movie theaters and, you know, making sure people put theater first and the state of indie film. At the Indie Spirits Award, talking about, you know, this industry right now is really struggling. So cheers to all of you who are making these independent films for essentially the love of the film. I think he is somebody, I think Hollywood loved Anora. I think they're big fans of that movie. But I think last night was them also being like, we love what you're doing, Sean.
Yeah.
We love these on the ground, you know, extremely humanist portraits of corners of society that never get spotlights on them, generally speaking. These very, you know, human stories that he tells for low, low budgets.
Marginalized characters. Yeah, exactly.
And I think that was a big part of last night's love fest for Anora, was that they were like, Sean Baker, we love what you're doing. We wish we made more movies like this. We wish, like, the studios, I think, are like, man, remember when we used to make interesting character studies for mid-budgets and put them out in theaters? That'd be cool to do. We're not going to do it, but it's nice that somebody still is. And people forget Tangerine, his breakthrough movie, was all filmed on an iPhone. Like, he's always been kind of working on this on-the-ground kind of rugged way, finding stars like Simon Rex in Red Rocket, who was incredible in that movie. I wish Red Rocket had gotten more of a shake when it came out 2 years ago. I'm very happy that he found success this past Oscar season. Anora is not my favorite of his movies, but it is a worthy winner. And I'm excited to see what he does next. He's won Best Picture. What does a blank check Sean Baker movie look like? You know,
great point.
Probably he's going to escalate to a whole $15 million on his next movie.
It's interesting because he ends his films. The end of The Florida Project was heartbreaking and then really sweet. It just I was not expecting that. And then Red Rocket too, when he pulls up to the girl's house, and I'm like, oh my God, I love that. Like, I'm like, how is he going to wrap this up? And it's perfect for what the movie was. Did you understand the ending of Anora? It was so odd. I just was kind of like, it was real though, you know, but I didn't get it really.
Yeah. It's ambiguous. And I think you can kind of see what you want to see in the ending. I kind of see that more of as an issue with the movie itself. Again, I think that movie's really good.
Yeah.
But same. I do think she kind of falls out of the movie's focus in a lot of the middle section of that movie. And I think for that end sequence to kind of have the impact you need it, I need to be more in her head. I need to be like on with her through this entire journey, kind of seeing how she's interpreting things and seeing how she's seeing this situation unfold. And I think that's kind of the big faux pas. That's the reason why that movie is not the favorite of mine, you know, this year. But I think it's still a good movie. And I still think there's a lot of really fabulous stuff in there. I also wonder if a lot of the Anora love this year was a lot of that movie's got real Uncut Gems vibes. And I wonder if they're looking back at that Oscar year 2019 and they're like, we missed that one. Uncut Gems should have, like, Adam Sandler should have been nominated. We should have given that movie some love somewhere. And Anora is kind of the next thing to come through. We can give this some of the love that maybe we missed before.
That's earlier. A really great point. I will say, Mikey Madison, much easier to watch act in her character. Like, Adam Sandler, I wanted to punch him through that whole movie.
I mean, Uncut Gems is one of the And one of the Uncut Gems is one of the most stressful movies you can watch. That isn't a horror movie. It's just a guy making bad decisions for 2.5 hours.
Crazy, I know.
I like that about the movie. I almost wish Inora was able to maintain the way Uncut Gems does. Uncut Gems is 2.5 hours of like, don't do that.
Right. What is this guy's problem?
Inora is mostly that, and then like large intermissions.
All right, so you just said maybe Inora wasn't your favorite Sean Baker movie. In terms of Best Picture, you okay with that, or where would you have gone if it was up to you?
I mean, again, if it was up to me, I think Nickel Boys was head and shoulders above everything else. I think I'm Still Here, the Brazilian movie, is really tremendous. It should still be out in theaters. It won the Best International Film Award, so very much worth your while. Unfortunately, very politically relevant to us right now in this country.
Right.
For those who don't know, it's about the Brazilian mother and woman living in 1970s Brazil as military dictatorship is kind of really putting a chokehold on its people. As I said, big laugher, real fun time. But no, it's a very good movie, very much worth your while. And I really liked Conclave too. I think Conclave was I've said this since the beginning, it was the Argo of this year, where it may not be exciting or, you know, revolutionary cinema, but it's just a really well-made adult drama, you know, the kind that we used to take for granted 10, 15 years ago. I think that movie's quite good. It's almost better for it now that it doesn't have to live up to the title of Best Picture of the Year. Because that title can crush movies. We've seen that happen to a lot of movies that are good, but maybe can't withstand the pressure of being the anointed one for a specific year. Now it just gets to be a good movie, and good on it.
It's weird. I said before, I with distance from Emilia Perez, I hated it even more. kind of the opposite with Conclave. Like, I liked it when I saw it, but when I had distance from that, I'm like, boy, that was a solid film all around. Writing, acting, the great twist at the end. I could have been happy with that winning too. And like you said before, Matt, if there was no sequel to Wicked, they make a strong case. But they left out In Memoriam, a Wisconsinite, Jim Abrams.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, they always leave out somebody. They always leave out multiple somebodies, unfortunately. Yeah. Like Tony Todd, famous from Candyman, he was left out as well. I know a lot of very notable figures were left out of this. It's sad that, you know, we can't find a way to do everyone justice at the Oscars, but, you know, I blame Adrian Brody's speech.
they had to cut something. Yeah.
I'm going to blame Adrian Brody's speech for every bad thing that happens to me for the next year.
And it's bad to be left out of something like that, but it's also good to be famous enough to be considered having that be considered a snub. So everybody kind of still wins. Only 364 days to go till the next Oscars, Matt. Thanks so much for helping us break this down tonight. That was a lot of fun. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk more.
Sounds good. All right, that's Matt Miller, folks. Check out his Substack, A Man About Film. He does very good work there, and that was a great discussion. Conrad, did you learn anything? Do you wish you would have seen the broadcast now?
I mean, I watched some of it on YouTube, but
okay.
I watched, during that time, I actually rewatched the SNL broadcast this on Saturday, but on Sunday.
Like the regular show, you mean?
Yeah. Oh. And it's Shane Gillis.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was so funny.
He's a funny dude. Is that the one where Mike Myers wore the Canada, I Love Canada t-shirt or whatever? Is that last week?
No, I actually didn't. They might have done that in the cold open. I actually didn't watch the cold open, but.
Yeah, they did some kind of I Love Canada. I saw it all over social media, but I didn't see the actual broadcast. Hey, when we come back, we're going to check in and see how Adrian Brody's speech is going. Mark Hansen is coming up at 7:35, talking some musical theater here in central Wisconsin. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In our last report, we explained how Executive Order 14215 claims presidential authority over the FEC and other independent agencies, putting fair elections at risk. Manipulation of the FCC, which sets broadcasting rules for political advertising, could also impact elections. Until 1987, the Federal Communications Commission followed the Fairness Doctrine, ensuring equal access to the airwaves and balanced coverage of candidates. The Communications Act of 1996 protects reasonable access by qualified federal candidates and equal time opportunities for federal, state, and local candidates. While it no longer reviews ads for accuracy, it still prohibits censorship of candidate-sponsored ads, requires the paid-for-by disclosure, and mandates records be available to the public. What if those rules were ignored? Extremist control of the FCC could revoke licenses of broadcasters who disagree with the administration, as threatened by Trump against NBC, ABC, and CBS in recent months. It could allow broadcasters to pick and choose their advertisers, potentially silencing competition. Unequal enforcement could tilt the playing field. In short, a partisan takeover of the FCC could impact election fairness not only for the 2026 midterms, but for years to come. We have more on the FCC's role in elections at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Dave from the 906, who refuses to text the show, texts me personally, which is fine. Okay. He says Long Legs was his favorite film from last year. The horror film with Nicolas Cage, who you wouldn't even know it was Nicolas Cage in the film. That's how good the makeup job was. Fascinating. It was a good movie. It's not really my genre. Did you see Long Legs? Did we talk about that?
I'm not a horror person fan, yeah. So I don't watch any of those.
That's interesting. If Dave likes horror, that's fine. It's not my cup of tea either, but it was a very well done film. And that studio, I think, is Neon. They're just crushing. I think they did Nosferatu, Long Legs. They might have done Anora, too. I felt like they got thanked a lot last night. So, anyway. Hey, we should probably check in. As many of you may or may not know, Adrian Brody was still talking last we checked. He started his acceptance speech last night at the Oscars. And let's see. Is he still talking? What's going on? Let's check it out.
Yeah, we'll go right to it.
Okay.
I know it's been a roller coaster, but thank you for accepting me into your life. And Popsy's coming home a winner. And who else? And Judy Becker, the real Oslo Toth, who deserves to be up here as well. And I'm wrapping up. Please, I'm wrapping up. I will wrap up. Please turn the music off. I've done this before. Thank you. It's not my first rodeo, but I will be brief. I will not be egregious, I promise. You know, I have to thank my mom and dad who are here as well. And they've just created just such a strong foundation of respect and of kindness and a wonderful spirit, and they've given me they've given me the strength to pursue this dream.
He had to gather himself to remember to thank his parents. That's just at the top of your head, or you have it written down. What did Matt say? That missed the longest speech at the Oscars by 1 second in the history of the Oscars. And he was the star of one of the longest movies. So, Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, is what's your best picture nominee or winner from last year? What's the best movie you saw that you would give an Oscar to? I'm still actually thinking. I can't, there's so many great films last year, and a lot of them didn't get nominated. And I'm trying to decipher and go through what I saw so I can give an answer here on the show, because we thought of the question kind of last minute. But what did you see that you would give an Oscar to? What's your best picture from last year? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app. Anora was the big winner last night with 5 out of 6. I would say, I can't really say a movie that I saw that came out this year that could have been Oscar. Yeah, let's say it had to come out last year. So 855-752-4842. Let me know what you guys are thinking, what your favorite film of the year was. What did you say? The Fall Guy. And you were completely serious.
Yes, I was completely serious. The second time I watched it, I fell asleep during it. So that's definitely my best nomination right there.
So it helps you get some Z's. That's good.
It's definitely it would be challenges for me, though, because I've rewatched that it 3 times now. I still like it every.
Really?
Yeah. I just think it's a great film. Great story.
All right.
I'm also a big sports film guy. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, was there a sports film last year you liked?
Just a Bit Outside was really good, but I still haven't seen Green and Gold yet.
Green and Gold, right? I don't know if I would. Actually, that came out this year.
Well,
I don't even know. Yeah, I guess technically Green and Gold would be a sports film.
Just a Bit Outside, I really enjoyed, though. So
yeah, it was fun talking about Major League too when Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, I left here Thursday night. I did the show from home Friday, and I lost my debit card. I got gas on my way out of town. No idea what happened to it. No one has found it or tried to use it. So I'm like hesitant. It is good, but at what point do I cut my losses? Because if I get a new debit card, I have to put it on Netflix, Amazon, anywhere I have auto withdrawal. I got to go through that whole rigmarole.
Did you go back to that gas station?
I called.
And they said no?
It's the Sunoco over here. And they said no, nothing was turned in. So, I mean, I thought I went through my car inside and out. I went through all my clothes. I know it's going to turn up somewhere stupid 2 days right after I get a new debit card and have to spend half the day entering those numbers into all my accounts. But I did call. I put it on hold. I don't know. It's really frustrating. Today is National Irish Whiskey Day. We should have, you know what? Let's do this for tomorrow. A good question would be, what is your favorite liquor? Or brand? I don't know. Let's think about that. Because as someone who hasn't had a drink in almost, well, over 2 years, it is fun to talk about alcohol. That's as close as I can get these days. And the Badgers yesterday. Okay, so, you know, I almost like that they're not in contention for the Big Ten title. I like them as a sleeper, someone you maybe don't want to play in the tournament. Like, they've fallen off a little bit after a great start, but I still feel like you don't want to play them in the tournament.
I mean, they're still the 12th ranked team in the top 25. So they're a great team still. That just, you know, some games don't go your way. They shot really bad against Michigan State. So I think it's just the next game they come back and say, how can we get better? And that's just how it is every game, you know?
So, but they do that like, okay, because I don't know, are they overranked or underranked at 12?
I think they're perfect where they are right now.
Okay.
I think they have room for improvement, definitely. Right. But I don't think they should be under 12.
Of the best picture nominees, the Badgers are like, let's say, The Substance.
No, you hate The Substance.
I hated The Substance with a passion. I hated that movie so much.
You can't talk about the Badgers like that. Come on.
I don't hate the Badgers. I'm just saying where they rank in terms of if we were putting this into best picture perspective. So only 364 days, folks, to the next Oscar broadcast.
I think you should put your name in there for hosting.
Yeah, why not? No, Conan did great. He was outstanding. And Adrian Brody is, to the best of our knowledge, is still talking. We'll cover that. But coming up after the news, very excited to welcome Mark Hansen. He'll be here. He's the chair of the musical theater department right here in central Wisconsin, where Nightlight is huge. So I'm excited to talk to Mark about what's going on at UWSP and talk about their spring performance, which is happening right now. We'll do that after the news. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. She can do a thing to me. I just want to dance the night away. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's tariffs on imported goods from Mexico, Canada, and China have gone into effect. Next month, he says, expect surcharges for imported produce. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Avocado prices are definitely going up. Maple syrup from Canada is probably going to rise. Beer from Mexico could rise.
The president has also paused all military aid to Ukraine. This is CBS's Eleanor Watson.
The Biden administration had committed about $66 billion worth of equipment in contracts for defense industry to make weapons for Ukraine. This pause now stops all of that.
The Vatican says the Pope has had a quiet night after medical setbacks as he fights double pneumonia.
Our Vatican sources tell us there is some positive news. His white blood cell count remains the same, which means there's no indication of a new infection.
CBS's Seth Doan reports the Pope is on ventilation to help his breathing. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Another Brewers pitcher injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers manager Pat Murphy says he now has half a dozen pitchers dealing with injuries in spring training. The latest, Aaron Ashby, the lefty pitching last night against the Reds, had to leave the game with an apparent strained oblique muscle. The Reds went on to win 5-4. Ashby to undergo an MRI.
Even though it's frustrating, but just kind of, you know, what the timing feels like going on the mound.
The team has signed 36-year-old lefty Jose Quintana, who spent the last 2 years with the New York Mets. Basketball tonight. The Bucks are on the road in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. College hoops, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in the Twin Cities, 7:30 tomorrow night for a border battle with Minnesota. Did the Badgers' lack of shots fail them at Michigan State Sunday? Greg Gard.
Yeah, well, we had three possessions there at the end where we kind of had ball screen defense breakdowns is a word I'll use because I'm not going to use the word I use with the team.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The 2025 Oscars are in the books. In case you missed the annual celebration of movies, here is a rundown of the big winners. The Best Supporting Actor trophy was the first major category announced, and the winner was Kieran Culkin for his role in A Real Pain. Taking home Best Supporting Actress to no one's surprise was Zoe Saldana for her role in Amelia Perez, a film that was nominated for 13 awards and won two. Winning his second Oscar for Best Actor was Adrian Brody for his role in The Brutalist. He probably deserved it just based on how long he had to stay in character, given the length of the film. Best Actress went to Mikey Madison for her role as the title character in Anora. Anora was really the story of the night as it made history, with director Sean Baker becoming the first person ever to win four Oscars from the same film. Baker won for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture as the film's producer. He also won for Best Editing. Anora was nominated six times and won five. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cloudy with rain developing this afternoon, up to 48 for a high today. Rain will change to snow tonight with snow continuing through much of Wednesday. 4 to 6 inches of accumulation possible with strong 35 to 45 mile per hour wind gusts creating blowing snow through much of the day Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan and filmmaker Craig Knitt, who joins me in the studio. That's right, folks. He's going to fight Green Bay traffic. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the 818, Bridget says, I really enjoyed Wicked. Good acting, amazing songs and sets. Could not agree more, Bridget. In fact, I agree with Matt Miller. If there was not a part two, that might have taken more Oscars. But I agree. It was a great film. And Conrad Steady Eddie texted us, and it looks like it's longer than Adrian Brody's acceptance speech. So, as usual, we have a Steady Eddie text around the corner, folks. Don't go anywhere. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight now, for the first time, he is the musical theater program coordinator at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, where we have a lot of listeners in central Wisconsin. And he joins us now on the stream, Mark Hansen. Mark, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks.
Great to have you on the show. Did you watch the Oscars, Mark?
You know, I haven't watched it in probably 30 years.
You're too much of a theater guy even to watch the Oscars. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I get bored.
Do you watch the Tonys? Yeah.
You know, I don't really watch the Tonys anymore either. I used to record them. And now you don't have to because somebody else does that for you. But I would just watch the musical numbers and that was it. So
that's great.
Didn't care about the speeches.
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I kind of feel like I watch the Oscars now because I do this show. I love movies. The show about movies is just okay. But hey, it's great to have you on the show. Before we jump into some of the cool things that are happening at UWSP, tell us a little bit about your background, if you would, please.
Oh, wow. So I come from, I grew up in southern Minnesota, kind of a farm kid, lived in a small town, a small college town in southern Minnesota. After high school, I went to the University of Minnesota in Duluth, Minnesota. So I went even more north than Stevens Point. And but then after graduation, I immediately went to Arizona State for grad school. So
that's some of that warm weather. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't think I would ever come back to the Midwest. But after that, I headed out to the East Coast. I was working as a pianist and music director in Boston and New York City and kind of all over the country in different regional theaters. And doing some national tours. And then I ended up sort of getting tired of living out of a suitcase. So I moved to San Francisco, which was my favorite sort of stop on the tour. So
great town.
Loved San Francisco. I lived there for 22 years. And then in 2013, I got the job at Stevens Point. So I came back to the Midwest.
What? Okay. So. So I was in warm weather for 14 years too. What is it about? Do we like the people here so much? We're willing to brave the elements. I mean, are they that special? I don't understand how we all end up back here, but it happens.
It does. I mean, I have family who still are in the area. Yeah. So that was great. But I think also it was really hard to find just because I wanted to get into teaching and into academia, and it was hard to get a full-time teaching job in the San Francisco Bay Area. Huh. So I was an adjunct at three different colleges. And so I spent most of my day, if I wasn't in the classroom, I was in my car driving to the next campus. So I kind of, the appeal of having just one job at one school was really tempting. So
there you go. You've had a good run there. I know UW Stevens Point has such a great reputation. Tell us a little bit about, you guys have your spring play. Such a great facility there. You have a great theater. Tell us about Pirates of Penzance, if you would, please.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we just opened this weekend. So we just had three pretty close to sold out performances. Nice. So that was exciting. We've got four more coming up this next week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And, you know, it's not, Gilbert and Sullivan is not necessarily everyone's cup of tea, but I think people that come into the show are going to have a good time. It's a lot of fun. It's interesting. I mean, it's this production is pretty faithful to the original. We didn't change any words. Okay. Or any of the lyrics. A lot of the Brits particularly are very irreverent with the material. They will rewrite everything and put like local character names in, like politicians in the area where they're performing. Funny. So they have they change it all around, but I kept it the same. And I just thought we'll put a little bit more of a modern sensibility into some of the humor. And I've got terrific. Well, you know, you're familiar with some of our student body. So yeah. I think, the talent is pretty high.
Disclaimer, my daughter goes to UWSP, and that's how I became acquainted with this great program. So let's get that out of the way. She's not in Pirates of Penzance, I will say.
She's not. Yeah. She's not. No, I'm she'll be doing plenty very soon, I'm sure.
She loves it.
But no, it's one of those things that the cast is really great. They just kind of took to it. I think most of the people in the cast had never done anything like this before. So that was... It's new for everyone. It's the first Gilbert Sullivan that my music director has ever worked on. So a lot of people coming at it from a different perspective and point of view. And I've been living with it since I was in sixth grade. And I was in the All City Operetta of HMS Pinafore. And I was like Sailor number 10. And it was just, I had a great time. I grew up just loving Gilbert Sullivan. And so the Pirates has been something this is probably my sixth production of it, so it's one of those that I've kind of spent some time with. So,
how is that, Mark, when you have these kids coming in who are 18, 19, 20, whatever, and you're springing these plays on them that have been around that long? Do they take to it right away, or is it something they learn to love when they get into it a little bit?
Yeah. Well, you don't start out by telling them it's 145 years old. Because then they kind of go, oh, okay.
I roll.
But then they realize, oh, it's actually kind of still relevant.
Yeah.
A lot of the humor, W.S. Gilbert was a brilliant satirist. I mean, he made fun of everything. He didn't do anything seriously. And so his humor was super timely for its time, but it continues to stay timely because... things don't really change that much from 100 years ago.
Right.
So I think people are kind of the same. So I think the cast kind of sees the universality of it and the fact that audiences also respond to it. They, you know, they'll laugh at the jokes. They're silly and they're kind of those bad dad jokes sometimes. And they laugh.
They
hold
up.
Have a great time. Even the students that are coming are laughing at it. So it's like the all intergenerational audience and they're all enjoying it. And so I think that you just have to say, trust us, this is going to be a good experience. And I think I think everyone is having a great time on stage and it shows. I think that's a part of the fun energy is the cast is having as much fun as the audience. So
that's so great. My guest is Mark Hansen. He is a professor and BFA of the musical theater program. He's the coordinator at University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. How can people get tickets, Mark, if they want to check this out?
Oh, I suppose I should know all those things.
Maybe Google?
They can check the website, the university's website, the ticket office, ticketing website. At uwsp.edu. There's tickets available for the whole weekend. I know that. Okay. It does tend to sell it fast, but I think that's the best way to do it. Yeah.
That's
they can
so
also
great.
Give them a call.
Well,
yeah.
Break a leg with that. I think it's funny. We were talking about like when you discover something that you really like it. I remember being in a play in high school, a Rodgers and Hammerstein. I was in Oklahoma. And I grew up, my dad was into classical music and I never had really wanted anything to do with it. But then I heard, you know, some great like show tunes like Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma, Carousel. And I still, once in a great while, I'll still pop something like that in. So it's funny that, I mean, it says something about the art and the writing that it stands the test of time. And like you said, it's 100 years later and we're still listening to this stuff.
Yeah, it does. I know it's, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma's 1943, so we're going to have, you know, the 100th anniversary pretty
wow
coming up pretty soon. So I mean, it's a while, but still impressive. Remember doing the 50th anniversary production. I did the 50th anniversary for Oklahoma. And I was like, wow, it's 50 years old. Oh my God. And that was a long time ago, but it's still, yeah, I love it. You know, it's, there's something about those classic shows that have a timelessness to it. I mean, if you can find something in it, anytime you look at it. So
I want to ask you, because when we were looking at colleges, I didn't know, like, Stevens Point, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the only state school in Wisconsin that offers a musical theater BFA. Is that correct?
Technically, yes. Okay. I think that's correct. As far as the actual BFA in musical theater, I think that the university in Milwaukee, the UWM in Milwaukee, has a musical theater BFA, but I think it's called it's like a hybrid. You get a degree in theater, a degree in music, and a degree in dance. So it's like a combination of three different degrees. So it's a little bit different. But we offer in the UW system, we offer the only BFA musical theater, which is, we're really proud of that. The only other competition we have in the state is the private school of Viterbo in La Crosse. And they have a BFA in musical theater as well, but that's our competition.
In your opinion,
No,
you're a dime your dance floor, buddy. You can answer this any way you want. Do we offer kids now enough access to music, theater, the arts in general, acting, whatever it may be? There's such an emphasis on sports. I don't think as many kids are playing sports now either, but is this something we could kind of pivot to and sort of push this a little more on kids so that there are more musical theater programs?
Well, you know, I think the arts in general have always been in the state of Wisconsin have been pretty high. I'm impressed because after living in California for a long time, I watched a lot of school music programs be cut and theater programs and such be cut. But coming back to the Midwest, I was like, wow, it's pretty robust here. Hmm. I grew up with a very strong music program in my elementary school, and I'm trained as a pianist and so that was always my instrument. But so I think that it's very popular right now. Musical theater particularly is very popular. I mean, just look at Broadway. Everything is a musical. Right. It might be one or two plays. And they're usually just like a couple Hollywood actors, you know, putting in a few months on Broadway and then they leave. But the musicals are really, you know, hugely popular, especially, it's a big tourist industry. So, of course, Everybody wants to go and see a big Broadway show. But it's popular all over the world. I mean, that's the thing. Musical theater is one of those art forms that every culture has some type of it in their history, but also embraces a lot of the Western ideas of musical theater as well. So I think it translates really well. The Japanese and the Koreans love American musicals and produce them all the time. So yeah. And tours go through, Asia all the time. It's one of those things. Australians have a huge musical theater love for it, and they will write their own shows as well. But it's you know, I think everybody's so excited by it. I think it was when the movie Chicago came out in the 90s, and suddenly musicals were like cool and sexy and entertaining again. And I think people are like, oh, okay, this is really cool. And I think that's what just started this trend for young people really to get hooked into musical theater.
I love it. And I will say this, those of you listening, if you live in central Wisconsin, I know we have especially after the meeting last week, we have a lot of listeners in the area, Wausau, Plover, Stevens Point, Waupaca. Check out, the great thing is, Mark, you've got kids coming through your program that are the professional actors and singers and dancers of tomorrow. Like, this is something you can see for not a lot of money. That's great. And like you talked about Broadway, I've seen a couple shows on Broadway, but when I see them in Chicago or Milwaukee or even at the PAC here in Appleton, I love it. And I don't go, well, that guy wasn't quite as good as the Jean Valjean on Broadway. You're going to love it. So check it out. Pirates of Penzance, one more weekend. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Break a leg. This was fun.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, you got it. Anytime. All right. Mark Hansen from UW-Stevens Point. He is the BFA Musical Theater Program Coordinator. Does a great job there. And Stevens Point, just a great little campus. Check it out if you're interested in the arts or in general. It's a great school. When we come back, we'll close this thing down. We'll read our texts and check in on Adrian Brody's speech. My guess would be that that little miniseries is still happening. So we'll do all that after a very short break on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
The Tap. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right. Talking some Oscars, some musical theater, trying to cover all the bases here on Nightlight tonight. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, she's in the 715 over in that nape of the way, says, I played in the pit orchestra for our high school's production of Oklahoma. The songs are in my mind forever. Nice promotion for UWSP tonight. From Pamela in Wisconsin Rapids. Well, that's what we're doing here, Pamela, celebrating the arts and all things that help us escape and keep music and lyrics and acting and creative stuff in our hearts. So thank you for the text tonight, Pamela. Bridget, text we got 414. Brian from the 414. He's in Milwaukee. He says Conclave was my favorite. Did not see the twist ending. I am with you, Brian, and that's why I thought it was. I really liked it. That movie is more important now than ever. Prayers for Pope Francis. Brian from Milwaukee. Thanks so much for the text, Brian. That's great, and I'm with you on Conclave. I kind of liked it a little bit better than Anora. I liked Anora, but I would have been happy with Conclave or a Complete Unknown for that matter. So, all right, it is that time of the night where we have a text from Steady Eddie, who we should get going on this because we still have to check in on Adrian Brody, right?
Yep.
What are we hearing from our sources at the Oscars? Is he still talking?
You know, they really want to play the music, but he shushed them for a fifth time.
Oh, my God. So. All right, we'll get to that. But first, we got to do Steady Eddie's text. He's in the 608. He's our pal Steady Eddie or Steadfast Edward. We'll see who he is tonight. He says, Pete, I agree with you. Timothée Chalamet's outfit was outrageous. What the heck was he thinking? And where is Ariana Grande going to wear that cuckoo nutty dress after Oscar night? Here's a hint in all caps. Nowhere. I much prefer your wardrobe selections, Pete. I am wearing one of my favorite shirts tonight. I didn't say that right. Like tonight, you're wearing your favorite brown bowling shirt that you purchased in 1992. False. Steady Eddie, I will address that at the end of your text. He says, it's comfortable, doesn't draw unwanted attention. I assume the paparazzi are leaving you alone. Yes, they are. It's a comfy, cozy old friend, and you are not wastefully using up the Earth's resources. And if you spill a little barbecue sauce on it, in all caps, who cares? Just rub it a little bit. It will blend right in and will be as good as new. You can't do it better than that, Pete. I can't really argue with that, Steady Eddie. He says, Pete and Conrad, thanks for keeping, in all caps, nightlight shining bright. Well, thank you, Steady Eddie. Always fun to hear from you. Love reading your texts. And he is Steady Eddie tonight, so he's keeping it real. He's got lots of street cred. I kind of just said that, but this might be one of my favorite shirts. Is that one of your favorite shirts you're wearing? What do you got there?
It's a sweatshirt.
Nike hoodie.
Yeah, Nike hoodie.
With the extra mile. You're not on camera, though, most of the time. You don't have to, not that I dress up, but I like to look presentable, right?
So what year did you purchase it from?
I got this like a year and a half ago, and I got it from a secondhand store because, you know what? I heard recently about textiles, like all the extra stuff that we buy and don't recycle, do recycle, whatever. So I like a store. There's a few of them around. What the heck is it called? It's right there on State Street. And they sell used clothing, and I love it. It is a chain. God, I'm totally blanking. But they have great recycled stuff. And what am I doing? I go in, I spend $9 on a shirt. I'm going to buy a new shirt, wear it twice anyway. So
what
the heck is the name of that store? It's driving me nuts now.
You're saying you don't know what year it is actually from. So it could be
from 1882, for all I know. I could see someone traipsing across the prairie in the shirt I'm wearing tonight, but no, it's probably, if I had to guess, I'd say this is the 2016 model.
Okay.
From the 608. I love the music from Pirates of Penzance. Love Gilbert and Sullivan music. The restaurant on Washington Island is the Albatross. Yes. Who is that? Is that Terry? How did this person know that? Well done.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's, I think Brian texted us that, right? He wanted to know what restaurant it was where you could see Laura Sawasco. So there you go, the Albatross. Terry might have mentioned that. That sounds familiar now that I think of it. All right, we got to check in on Adrian Brody. Let's see if his speech is still going on. It's been almost 24 hours. For the love of God, I hope he stopped, but we'll check right now.
I'm here once again to represent the lingering traumas and the repercussions of war and systematic oppression and of anti-Semitism and racism and of othering. And I believe that I pray for a healthier and a happier and a more inclusive world. And I believe if the past can teach us anything, it's a reminder to not let hate go unchecked.
Oh, gosh. Is that Zelensky speaking, or is that...
Okay, I'll get out of here. I love you. I appreciate you all. Let's fight for what's right. Keep smiling. Keep loving one another. Let's rebuild together. Thank you.
Honey, toss me my gum. I'm coming back. That's Adrian Brody. He was still talking.
He's still going.
Ragstock. That's the name of the store. Great store on State Street. I do buy a lot of retreads there. I mean, if I was going to buy a suit, like I go to a nice place, but you're just wearing a nice bowling shirt. Yeah, you never know when someone is going to challenge you to a bowling match. You've got to be ready.
Good point. I cannot
stress that enough, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to Matt Miller for joining us tonight. And always fun to talk to Matt. Thank you to Mark Hansen with the UWSP Musical Theater Department. They're doing a great job there. I know that firsthand. And thank you to all your texts for all your texts and calls. It's been a lot of fun here on Nightlight as usual. Yes, Anna from Madison helped out too. She said, Pete, were you thinking about Ragstock? I was, Anna. That's what I love about Nightlight listeners. They come through. We went, got the lefty out of the bullpen. Anna stepped up and got the save. Thank you. Thank you all for your texts and calls. So much fun. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Oh, who do we have tomorrow night?
Oh, we have Craig Anthony Knitt.
Oh, Green Bay filmmaker Craig Anthony Knitt and Appleton-based comedian John Egan will be here.
Yes.
A lot of fun tomorrow night. Make sure you don't miss that show, folks. Also, 608 Pete, love the running Adrian Brody bit. Thank you so much. Thanks, all. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll talk about Secretary of Defense Hegseth requiring a What Did You Do Last Week list from civilians. And Luke Mathers is in for Tuesday Tangents. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. It's just gotten more expensive to buy anything coming in from Canada, Mexico, or China. Correspondent Jennifer Kuiper says import tariffs are now in effect.
President Trump slaps 25% tariffs on nearly all goods from Canada and Mexico. He's used tariffs as an instrument to extract concessions from foreign governments and stresses that
what they have to do is build their car plants, frankly, and other things in the United States.
He also says tariffs are a powerful weapon that he hopes will help stop fentanyl and illegal immigrants from coming into the U.S.
CBS News business correspondent Kelly O'Grady.
The areas that will see an increase pretty quickly are energy, oil, a 10% tariff on all energy coming from Canada. We get a lot of our oil from
China.
There.
And China has responded quickly to the 10% tariff on its good with 15% surcharges on U.S. farm products going there, including chicken, pork, soy, and beef.